BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Now, I think I may be a little bit strange. Everybody went wild when they heard this morning we'd be talking about chocolate. And honestly, I am beginning to realise I'm very unusual in not really being crazy about it. Globally, $100 billion worth of the stuff is consumed every year. And already people have been telling me which bars their mothers and their sisters loved as children and still do. So why is it such a popular substance for so many people? And what happens when you add it to surprising ingredients to make a meal? Well, Sue Quinn is the author of Cocoa, an exploration of chocolate with recipes. And she will cook the perfect pasta with gorgonzola, walnuts, rosemary and chocolate. Sue, why that combination of ingredients?
I know. Some people get a bit alarmed about this particular pairing because they don't think about chocolate and pasta in the same bowl. But what I was trying to do in my book, exploring the really fantastic, interesting story of chocolate, is to showcase how versatile chocolate is in the kitchen. And although we think of it as a sweet ingredient and we think of it as a single flavour chocolate, it actually has a lot more to offer when you're cooking than that.
When did using it in savoury dishes begin to be a thing?
It's been used in savoury dishes for centuries. I mean, there's evidence that it even goes back to the pre-Aztec civilizations. Traces of theobromine, which is one of the active compounds in chocolate, has been found on old vessels and platters that were used to serve savoury food. But it really came to the fore in the 18th and 19th centuries. In Italy and in Spain, when chocolate in Europe was very expensive, a real novelty ingredient, and chefs basically used it to show off, so they put it in all sorts of ingredients. Particularly in Italy, they were a bit obsessed by it, because if your household, if you were a chef in a household that could afford chocolate and use it lavishly, they put it into pasta, they put it into polenta dishes, they even coated liver in it and deep fried it, some of it not very appealing, but they were on to something, that cocoa could be used almost like a spice.
Now, you've got the pasta bubbling
away
there.
I do, yeah.
And you're stirring away at a sauce. What is in the sauce?
Okay, so I'm frying off some butter, melted some butter and frying off some garlic and some finely chopped rosemary. And that's going to form the basis of a really rich and cheesy sauce. A spin on a classic Italian pasta dish using gorgonzola dolce, which is a beautiful blue creamy cheese, some parmesan, some white wine, some cream and some walnuts. And that is going to go into the pasta sauce, and then I'm going to grate dark chocolate over the top.
What kind of chocolate is it that you use in a savoury
dish? Yes, this is not the kind of chocolate confectionery you'd sit eating in front of the television. This is 100% chocolate I'm using, so it has no sugar in it whatsoever. And that means that all the complex flavours of the chocolate itself, rather than the sugar and the additives, can be used to complement the other ingredients in the dish. So there's cheese in this dish. Chocolate has some of the same aroma compounds as cheese. So by using those two ingredients together, you enhance those cheesy dairy compounds, aroma compounds. Chocolate also has bitter notes, so it can be used to provide contrast as well, to the contrast to the creamy sweetness of the cheese and the milky sweetness of the walnuts. So all in all, you end up with more intense flavour and complex flavour as well.
Now, it's interesting. You give lots of examples of how women's relationship with chocolate has long been seen as sinful.
Yes,
why?
It has been. I mean, women's association with chocolate goes back to the very beginning, because chocolate was made by women in the pre-Aztec civilizations. But it began to take on a less positive note once the Spanish started to colonize the Americas. And a connotation emerged that women were somehow more susceptible to the pleasures of chocolate. They were particularly prone to being addicted to it or craving it more than men. And there were examples of women using chocolate for nefarious purposes as well. So it became associated with witchcraft. During the Spanish Inquisition, there were accounts of women lacing their chocolate with some rather vile things in some cases, as to cast spells on men mainly, or to even poison them. So
now, the chocolate industry in the 20th and 21st centuries seems to have played on the idea that it's a very sexy item. I was thinking this morning of the flake advert.
Well, precisely, yeah. I mean, that you can trace that idea right back to this idea that women were particularly susceptible to the pleasures of chocolate. I mean, there's an anecdote from the 17th century in Mexico, where a group of Spanish women insisted on taking their chocolate into church of a Sunday morning, and the bishop threatened them with excommunication unless they stopped, because it was disrupting proceedings. And the women simply chose their chocolate over hellfire and damnation and stayed away to drink their chocolate. And they were accused of being so addicted to chocolate that they preferred the risk of, you know, excommunication. So this idea emerged that women were particularly susceptible to it. So chocolate advertisers, once chocolate became mass-produced in the 1930s, I guess, chocolate manufacturers really played on that idea.
What is it about it? What's in it that makes it so popular all over the world and people really crave it?
Yeah, I think what we've got is the perfect planetary alignment of pleasure in chocolate. So you've got, first of all, you've got some compounds in chocolate which are known as bliss molecules, that they really do seem to trigger the pleasure centres in our brain. So we literally get physical joy when we eat chocolate. There's also the fact that it melts at body temperature. So as soon as you put a square on your tongue, it starts to dissolve. And scientists have explained to me that this change in texture is something that the brain really, really loves. And then, you've got this sugar-fat combination, which everybody loves. And there's some theories that it's a similar ratio of sugar to fat as breast milk. So the idea is that they were almost hardwired to love chocolate.
Now, you refer in the book to slavery and its connection with chocolate. Why?
Well, I mean, I felt I had to cover this in the book because while chocolate clearly brings us joy, not to the people of West Africa who farm cocoa. And the truth is that 90% or 95% of the cheap chocolate confectionery bars on our shelves are made from cacao beans in West Africa, where most farmers live well below the poverty line. They barely scratch a living. More than 2 million children are estimated to be involved in the cacao trade. So our pleasure comes at a great cost to the cocoa farmers in West Africa.
What most surprised you about chocolate in your research? What did you learn that really astonished you?
I've got to say that everything. I was ashamed to admit that when I started researching this, I had no idea how much I didn't know about chocolate. And I think it's one of the foods, one of the last foods that we're really beginning to learn about how it's made. So many people I meet now don't really understand that chocolate is a fermented food, for instance. And it's because we never see the plantations. They only grow in a very narrow band, 20 degrees north and south of the equator. So we're so removed from the provenance of chocolate that we don't really understand it. So everything came as a surprise to me. I've got to say, the degree of poverty in West Africa in some of these cocoa-producing countries really did astonish me. I now think long and hard before I buy a chocolate bar.
Now, dark chocolate is said to ward off all kinds of ills.
Yes.
Is that fantasy, or can it prevent heart attacks and cancer and all kinds of things?
It's not all fantasy, no. There are compounds in cacao, in the natural bean, which scientists are really interested in, and they do think that it has potential health benefits. The problem is that there's probably not enough of those compounds in a bar of chocolate to do much for you. The compounds in themselves are said to improve your blood flow, which may... Sorry, I'm just putting the pasta into the sauce here, which may explain why some studies suggest that the compounds in dark chocolate can help relieve blood pressure and may even reduce the risk of heart attack. But there's conflicting evidence about that, I've got to say.
Now, I've got to wait for a while before I taste this because you're just mixing it all in.
I am.
I must tell you, we had a tweet from Margaret who said, a phone in on fat one day followed by a chocolate feature the next. Really? Yeah, really. Sorry about that.
What I would say to that is opt for some dark chocolate because there's not so much sugar.
Not fattening?
Well, it gives us pleasure. It's good for mind, body and soul chocolate to taste a small amount of something that you enjoy.
I can't wait to taste the pasta. So, Sue, thank you for the moment. Now, Sue Quinn and the chocolate on the pasta. The Chocoholics rushed in.
They did.
And universally loved it.
Yes.
And I kind of liked it. It really does taste like a spice.
It does. Yeah, it really does. It's surprising, isn't it? Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it even a little bit because I know you're not a big chocolate fan, but it just shows you how versatile chocolate is. You can use it in lots of different ways and it doesn't have to be in cakes.
Really interesting. Sue Quinn, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.